Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, got
you. Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Matt Peck is out today. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. It's 331-979-1369. Drop any of your texts, your voicemails, anything you got for us. So on today's episode, Matt being out again, happy Monday to you guys. And you guys are supposed to be hearing this on Monday. But we may have some technical issues, so you may not get this episode till later in the week. But one thing that I wanted to start the week off with, and diving a little bit more into Bulls basketball and what happened last season, it was sparked by a question that was asked last week on our mailbag, where it was talking about the comparison between Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White's rookie seasons. And understanding and trying to contextualize the rookie season that Lauri Markkanen had and his expectations from the fan base starting in year one, as opposed to where Kobe White's expectations were in year three of the rebuild, and sort of where the expectations of the front office, the fan base, were at that point. And one of our listeners had brought up, if you didn't catch the episode, was asking if the expectations for Kobe White are a little bit unfair and we shouldn't hold the same expectations that maybe we once had for Lauri Markkanen to Kobe White. And I think this is a fascinating question, and it's a fascinating thing to think about. Even though Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White don't play similar positions, I think it's fascinating to think about the way and the trajectory in which Bulls prospects have gone, at least recently, through the ringer in the first couple of years. And look, we'll start by saying that Lauri Markkanen had a lot of injuries through the first 3 years. But looking at his rookie season, he was pretty much able to play 80-85% of the entire season. So we got a really good look at him. But the only caveat to that is we didn't get to see him with Zach LaVine. So with that, I kind of want to play out some stats and talk to you guys a little bit about Lauri Markkanen's first year and also talk about Kobe White's first year and some similarities and some differences. And then maybe you can make up your own opinion on where your level of comfort and where your level of pressing with Kobe White and his development will be going into year two, and even a critical year for Lauri Markkanen going into year four. I can't even believe that we're even saying that Lauri Markkanen is going to be in year four of his career, and it doesn't even feel like that, right? I mean, it feels like it's been a lifetime ago that we saw Lauri Markkanen play a full healthy season. And that's the same thing even with Wendell Carter Jr. We haven't gotten a chance to see him play a full healthy season either. And which just makes this rebuild so much more difficult, too. It's frustrating when we sit here and 3 years later, it feels a lot like we're in the same spot we were the night we traded Jimmy Butler. Although the excitement and the change, quote unquote, that type of adrenaline isn't there anymore, right? Maybe we got a little bit of an adrenaline rush from the front office and that those changes being made, but there's still this lingering, looming question about the coaching situation and where exactly this rebuild is going. But I want to talk more positively on this episode and maybe get you a little bit more excited about Kobe White. And there's a lot of questions that have kind of gone unanswered about Kobe White, and I think that's a good thing. I think the limited amount of time that we saw him, and look, we only saw one start out of him. He played 65 games, and we only saw one start out of Kobe White. So I think there's a lot of questions that I may not be able to answer for you, but maybe we can kind of flesh those out and set up our expectations at least early for Coby White, and maybe we can use Lauri Markkanen as a gauge for that. Before I dive into all the stats and everything I'm going to talk about with Coby White and Lauri Markkanen, I want to remind you guys about Rock Auto, rockauto.com. The ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, such as Ford, Kia, Toyota, and all the models out there too, Mustang, F-150, any of those, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions such as, is your Mustang a GT? Is it a turbo boost? Is it eco-friendly? Any of those. And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer. Choosing only the brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computer access with rockauto.com and at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On or Locked On Bulls in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Let me start by giving you the splits for both Coby White in his rookie year this season and Lauri Markkanen's back in 2017-2018. We'll set the benchmarker there and kind of go from there. So Coby White, like I said, 65 games. He started in only one single game. He played 1,674 minutes this season, averaged 25.8 minutes per game, 13.2 points, 3.5 rebounds, and 2.7 assists. His usage percentage was at 24.4, true shooting percentage at 50.6%, field goal percentage at 39.4, not great, 35.4%. percent from three, which is pretty decent in his first year, and just a tick under 80% from the free throw line. I was shocked at first. I was shocked at first to think about he only started in one game, but was a vital part in what the Bulls needed to do, especially later in the season when Jim Boylan actually gave him an opportunity to play alongside Zach LaVine and get minutes that actually counted. So that was Coby White's first year in a small snapshot. Lauri Markkanen's first year in a small snapshot. So he played in 68 games. He started in all 68 games. Lauri Markkanen played about 400 minutes more than Coby White in his rookie year. Lauri Markkanen just over 2,000 minutes there. He averaged 29.7 minutes per game. He averaged 15.2 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 1.2 assists. He shot 43.4% from the field, 36.2% from three, and 84.3% from the line, and a true shooting percentage of 55.2%. And the shocking thing with that, with his numbers being so high, is his usage percentage was pretty damn low for a guy that was missing Zach LaVine for basically the entirety of the season. We saw like a little bit of him at the back end of that rookie year, but not a whole ton. So to see his usage percentage around 22% was a little shocking, considering the numbers that he was able to put up. But setting the benchmarker there, I was curious, where does Coby White stack up against players in their rookie season that have only started in maybe one game or less and still averaged over 10 points a game and played about the same minutes that Coby did throughout this season? So I set the benchmarker at 1,500 minutes per game or more. Stat line of 10 points per game or more and only started in one game or didn't start in any games in their rookie year. And I found out in the last 20 years, since the 2000-2001 season, there's only been one other player that has done that, has played over 1,500 minutes, has only started in one or less game, and averaged 10 points or more in his rookie season. And that was Tim Hardaway Jr. with the Knicks, he's now with the Knicks. But Tim Hardaway Jr. in his rookie season, he's not a player that I would have thought about at first. to be compared to Coby White. So I was like, okay, well, if there's not that many guys, which was kind of shocking, you think about any rookie coming into a year where he's not thrown straight into the starting lineup, it's a unique situation where he was brought off the bench, and we haven't seen success the way that Coby White has had off the bench, not starting and playing in still a decent chunk of minutes this season. Not stack up to anybody else in the NBA that way. So him and Tim Hardaway Jr. are the only two guys to average over 10 points a game, playing over 1,500 minutes in their rookie season and only start in one or less games. And Tim Hardaway Jr. had the same thing. He only started in one game his rookie season. But then I wanted to dive in even deeper. Guys that didn't start in a single game. So there's only five guys in the last 20 years in their rookie seasons where they played more than 41 games, they started in one or less games and played over 1,500 minutes. And so I lowered the level just to see if any other players would pop up. And Gary Neal, 2010-2011 for the Spurs, James Harden, and Matt Bonner also popped up. So five guys in that criteria. But James Harden popping up here, he in 2009-2010 is a 20-year-old rookie. Played in 76 games, didn't start in any. He scored 753 points. Coby White, in only 65 games in his rookie season, in about 100 less minutes, scored 859 points. So a little bit more than Harden was. Obviously, you think about the guys that Harden had around him compared to Coby White. It kind of makes sense why Harden would be third, fourth, fifth option and have somewhat of a low scoring level to him with Durant and Russell Westbrook around him as well. So that was interesting. And why I say that is because it brings me to my overall point about Coby White. There's a massive unknown. There's a massive unknown because we don't have anything to compare him to, really, in this first season. You know, we talked a lot about throughout the year of using Coby White as this quote-unquote sixth man to come off the bench and maybe get him his reps against second units, but also parlaying that with the fact that we want to see him play alongside Zach LaVine, especially important minutes. I mean, at some point we talked about the Bulls hitting the gas pedal and hitting it hard because you're in year three and you've got decisions to make. I know they're not pressing right this second, but I mean, 2 years down the line, you got to decide what you're going to do with Zach LaVine. You got to decide if you're going to sign Lauri Markkanen long term. You got to decide if you're keeping Chris Dunn around. These pieces that you brought in to be a part of your quote unquote core, we still haven't gotten any answers on. I don't think any of them besides Zach LaVine, as far as what they can do on the floor. So it makes me wonder, where does Coby White fit into this? How quickly are they going to press the gas pedal in year two for him? And I think the next step here is to allow Coby White to start, right? And I said I was fine with being patient with Coby White and allowing him to come off the bench and play against second units, because more times than not, when you got a Bulls team as bad as they were, you're going to have opportunities where Coby White just gets absolutely cooked against guys like Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker. Anybody in the Eastern Conference that he's going to have to go up against is going to be a tough matchup. So you don't want his confidence to be lost completely. But we even heard from Coby White this season how he's frustrated with not knowing his role. And he's not the only player to say that. I mean, Lauri Markkanen said he had no idea what his role was on this team. Denzel Valentine said he had no idea what his role was on this team. So there's a lot of guys with questions about, well, what the hell am I supposed to be doing? So for Coby, it's a unique case of we don't normally see this from a rookie, especially somebody picked in the top 10 coming off the bench and not starting straight up. And so I get the measured approach with bringing Coby White along slowly but surely. And look, he had his ups and downs this year too, where he would come into games, he'd miss a lot of shots, a lot of turnovers, things like that. Those are the types of things that I'm okay with him improving on. And that's why I was okay with him coming off the bench. But at a certain point, when Thomas Adoransky was playing so terribly last year, it was like, all right, what is Jim Boylan doing? He's sticking to his guns here and keeping Coby White coming off the bench. And hey, maybe if there wasn't a shutdown, we probably would have seen Coby White play in a start in maybe 10 or 15 games to cap off the season. I think the Bulls had 14 games left. So maybe we saw Coby White start in 10 of those games. But regardless, he only got one start last year. So I think about it this way when I look at Lauri Markkanen's stats too. And his expectations, I felt like, were maybe higher than Coby White's at the time. And a lot of people had Coby White as maybe their second or third option for the Bulls to take in the past draft. And understanding that there isn't a pressing need to necessarily see Coby White turn into an all-star shooter right away, whereas opposed to Lauri Markkanen, the expectations were, and what we were told was, he was the best shooter in the draft. A lot of people were comparing him to Baby Dirk, which is kind of crazy, but, and even was crazy at the time, but comparing him to Kristaps Porzingis, I know I even did that after his successful rookie year. I said, if Lauri Markkanen is truly going to be an all-star, he's got to follow the path Porzingis did before he got hurt. And Porzingis really took a leap from year two to year three, and that's what sucks the most, is Lauri Markkanen's second season, which I felt like was the most crucial, and he had the most confidence too coming into that season, where he had built a bunch of muscle. He looked absolutely shredded, and then the first practice coming into training camp, he gets hurt, and I felt like it derailed the entire season. The only saving grace for Lauri Markkanen's season was when his Finnish coach came and met with him back in Denver when the Bulls were on a 10-game losing streak, and spent a few days with him and just talked with him and said, hey, you need to clear your head here a little bit. Just go out there and play. And it turned around, and in February, all of a sudden, we saw a night and day difference between Lauri Markkanen previously in that second year coming off the injury and what we saw in February. And I think a lot of us Bulls fans are kind of waiting for that February time to come back. So the expectations I felt were pretty high, especially when you trade away Jimmy Butler. And maybe they weren't. Maybe it would have been even higher had Zach LaVine not been a part of that trade. And Zach LaVine, coming off the ACL and performing the way that he has fairly quickly too, maybe relieves a little bit of the pressure that Lauri Markkanen had on him. And also to all the other nuanced things going around the Bulls organization, to Jim Boyle and to the front office, I think has kind of waned the pressure on Markkanen. But we're seeing that even people were critical of Markkanen this year when it just seemed like he had no confidence. He wasn't getting any shots. And I blame that a lot on Jim Boylan and his strategies and his game plan and his tactic of how he's supposed to be developing Markkanen, and the way that Jim Boylan wants to play just seems like contrasting styles. And I don't know why it took the front office so long to tell them, hey, wake this guy up. This guy's supposed to be our number two or number three. Like, if he's not any good, we're not going to be any good for the near future. The expectations for Coby White coming into this year, I felt, were a little bit more relaxed. You had Tomas Satoransky. You had Chris Dunn. You had Shaquille Harrison. You had Ryan Arcidiacono. You had all of these guards, this carousel of guards that I felt took the pressure off of Coby White to have to come out and perform right away. And we knew he was going to make a lot of mistakes, and we know that he's only 19 years old. And it's the same thing with Wendell Carter Jr. Wendell Carter Jr. is getting, I feel like, the benefit of the doubt just because he is so young and the injuries did happen to him. But for Coby's second year, you know, especially if Markkanen plateaued and stays where he was at this past season and even in year two, we could see the expectations go from, okay, we can wait on Coby White for a couple of years, to 180 and flip and say, hey, shit, we need Coby White to start performing right away. Markkanen's not delivering for us on the offensive end consistently night in and night out. Zach LaVine can't be the only guy that's going to score. And if we don't want Zach LaVine to be frustrated and to leave, he needs people to help him. So there might be some heightened expectations for Coby White going into year two. And I wonder what the curve is going to look like. The fact that he only started one game kind of concerns me a little bit, because there is a difference between coming off the bench and what your role is there and closing out games, as opposed to starting the game off and going against everybody else's top five players in the league. There's a big difference, and I think there's going to be a learning curve. And then you throw in the huge wrench of COVID-19 and the shutdown. I mean, these guys aren't going to be in real actual games for 9-10 months. I mean, that's the earliest too. We would be talking about a year before they play games. So I think it's important to maintain our level-headedness when talking about Coby White's expectations for year two and looking at Markkanen's and seeing the expectations that we had going into year two and some of the disappointment we saw. But then I will draw it back to Markkanen overall going into year two. Look, the negatives and the disappointment from year two in for Lauri Markkanen compared to his expectations had nothing to do with Lauri Markkanen's performance. It had everything to do with his injury, which completely derailed the season. It derailed the season because you lost him. You lost Chris Dunn for 8 weeks to start the season. You lost Bobby Portis, who was coming off a great offensive year and thought was going to be a part of this. You lost him for 8 weeks. Zach LaVine sat out some time. You lost Wendell Carter Jr. right as Markkanen came back. So there's all of these contextual factors that go into understanding what happened to Lauri Markkanen in year two. And then we got the little bit of surprise in February. But again, I just, the more and more I keep referencing that February, the more I hate it because it's the only sample size we've seen of success. And it bothers me. And it bothers me that we haven't seen a big enough sample size with guys like Otto Porter, who was part of that February success. I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you think your expectations are going to be for Coby White going into year two? And do you think they'll be as high as they were for Markkanen in year two, in the second year of a rebuild compared to the fourth year of a rebuild? To cap this all off, let's think about it for a second. Let's take for a second, think about Zach LaVine taking another step from where he was right now at 25-5-5. What happens if Zach LaVine is a true all-star next year? What kind of pressure does that put on Coby White, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr., and even Otto Porter Jr., who's still under contract for another year? What kind of pressure does it put on all those guys to step up and say, and maybe not even so much Otto because he could be out in a year, but guys that are going to be here for a little while, White, Markkanen, Carter, what kind of pressure does that put on those guys if Zach LaVine takes another step forward and says, you know what, like, I can't say, I hate losing. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of having no support. Who's going to be that guy? And maybe if you're a fan out there like me who wants Zach LaVine to stay around long term for this Bulls team, maybe it is Coby White that has the most pressure on him to step up and be that number two, be that wing, be that sidekick to Zach LaVine. Because you can't trust Otto Porter right now. He can't stay healthy. You can't trust Lauri Markkanen either. He's inconsistent and can't stay healthy either. And poor Wendell Carter Jr., man. I mean, we could just use the defense on him at this point. But the offense has pretty much been non-existent for Carter, too. So where does the pressure shift then? If you want to keep Zach LaVine happy and here long-term, and you want this to be successful sooner rather than later, and Zach LaVine does take that next step and is an all-star next year, and we're looking around the league, and the rest of the league is looking like, okay, why is Zach LaVine at an all-star level and the Bulls are still 5, 8, 10 games under 500? Who takes on the most pressure? Maybe it's not even a player. Is it the coach? If Jim Boylan stays, obviously the pressure would be pointed to him, but I wonder who in that locker room, who on that team takes on the burden of that pressure if Zach LaVine takes another step and the Bulls make no moves going into next year. I think it might be on Coby White. Maybe that's unfair for a guy that's going to be 20 years old and only in his second year. But if you can't trust Markkanen and you don't know what you're going to get out of him, and you can't trust the fact that Otto Porter and Wendell Carter Jr. can't stay on the floor and stay healthy, maybe the pressure does shift to White. And can he handle it? And is it fair to criticize if he can't in that second year? I don't know. There's a lot of questions. But I am very encouraged by just the film that I watched from Coby White going back to games where he had a ton of success. Especially that Charlotte game was a lot of fun to watch. Some of the passes that he made were just utter ridiculous, man. And he's only going to get better. And he is the damn fastest man I've ever seen on that floor. And maybe that's, again, a positive to Jim Boylan's defense and having guys constantly hustling. You know, there's lots of stats out there right now that say, you know, Zach LaVine traveled the farthest per game than anybody in the NBA this season. I think it was like 2.8 miles or something like that, which is wild. using that combination of speed and actually what Jim Boylan told us he was going to do with this offense, we're getting guys out in transition and running, taking advantage of that. We need that. And Coby White can do that. And Zach LaVine can do that. And not telling Markkanen to get 40 rebounds a game and actually allowing him to be a part of that run and gun offense, it's what was successful when Fred Hoiberg was here in his rookie season. And actually making Lauri Markkanen a vital part of the offense and not sitting around the three-point arc and watching him brick 3, 4, 5, 6 threes in a game. Oh, and also, too, White's touches better not be reduced the way that we saw Lauri Markkanen's get reduced from year one to year two and year two to year three. Those should increase. And maybe White takes a step ahead and it helps Markkanen and it helps Carter and it helps Porter. And most importantly, it helps Zach LaVine. Unfair or not, how quickly this team turns around in year four, I think, is going to come on the success of not only Lauri Markkanen, but Zach LaVine and Coby White. That pair, I think, can save a lot of headaches for this new front office if we see success, and we see success early. The only thing I'm concerned about and a little bit worried is the pressure that's going to be put on White to perform in year two, only having one start under his belt in the NBA. And having a clown for a head coach, at least for right now. Maybe you guys don't think it's unfair. Maybe that's just the expectations and how the NBA is at. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening to the episode. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. You got any takes on this, comparing Markkanen and Coby White's expectations, or maybe you even want to talk about Carter's expectations compared to White's, and maybe what the expectations are going to be of the new rookie that comes in. The Bulls pick 7th, or 5th, or 6th, or 4th, or maybe 1st. Wherever that may be, the expectation level for that rookie coming in compared to the three previous that the Bulls drafted. Maybe you want to talk about the draft. Draft lottery's coming up in just under a month here, so we'll take your questions. We're going to start to dive into some draft previews, some prospect previews like we've done every single year leading up to the draft. So hit us up with your questions on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369. Thanks to our sponsors today in Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com. Mention Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us tab. Thanks to all of our sponsors for sponsoring Locked On Bulls and the Locked On Podcast Network all season and all year long. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com